Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
In John chapter 7, verse 43, we read this statement. So there was a division among the people because of Jesus. You know, that word in the Greek, it's schisma, from which we get the word schism. A division, a dissension because of him. That is what Jesus Christ caused. That is what his boldness brought, division. That's tough today, isn't it? You say, I'm really confused by that, isn't it? Just all about unity as Christians? You know, we have enough division in the Christian world. We're sick of political fighting and everyone disagreeing on everything. You know, and then we have these disputes over these little fine doctrinal points. Who are we to say something's wrong? That seems so arrogant. Everyone's going to think that we're just better than everyone else. Should we really take a stand and say there are false forms of worship? Should we really expose certain things churches are doing and say it's wrong? Should we really shouldn't we just accept people as they are, leave them alone with their alternative lifestyles? Should we really be willing to draw the line in the sand over doctrinal issues? Look, especially in our blood families, you know, our families, let alone, it's bad enough in church families, but when it comes to mom and dad and brother and sister, look, you can't tell them that. You're going to lose them. It's peace and unity at all costs, right? I know that said, I had a guy at the gym recently say to me, the devil loves divisive people. And I said, amen. And then I said, but the devil also loves compromisers of the truth. It's a real dilemma. How do we understand these calls to unity? Especially when I turn over to Luke, I quoted this yesterday, and read this. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you not at all, but rather division. Word means disunion. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Getting the point? I'm going to bring a whole bunch of division, says Jesus Christ. Why? Confusing to us, right? Where in the church today, we've been taught doctrine divides, shouldn't make it a big issue. And yet again, everything I've been saying on Abounding Grace the past few weeks, we have run up against a Jesus pushed upon us of our culture that doesn't take doctrinal stances, that doesn't divide. And yet when we come to the Jesus of Scripture, we meet the exact opposite. See what the devil does? He actually loves people who take no stand whatsoever for the truth and manipulate people by pushing a Jesus on them that's not the real one. Jesus explained that if you're going to follow him, it's going to cost you. Part of that cost will even be family members when you take a stand for his truth and expose that what they are doing is wrong. I mean, you know this. You tell someone they're doing something wrong and immediately they don't want to talk about it anymore. They'll only talk to you about anything that's non-offensive, food, the ball game, anything like that. Jesus explains this because in this section in John 7, there have been three kinds of responses: the convinced, the confused, and the contrary. Jesus explained why that is. When the mysteries of the kingdom are spoken and they are preached, it does something. There are different kinds of hearers to the word of God. So why would mom be set against a son or a daughter? And why would a father be set against a son? Why would Jesus come and bring division, sword, disunion? Well, in John 7, you're getting three totally different responses to Jesus' call to come to him for life, to drink his living water. Because some believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they're bearing fruit in their lives. Those then who are close in their life who do not believe, who do not bear fruit, have immediate conflict with them. And for those who refuse to hear the claims of Christ and choose different paths of living that are contrary to the word, what happens? They do not like you. They reject you. There is division. There's persecution over you because of your close identification and connection to Jesus Christ. Division, dear radio listener, is always a reality wherever the gospel is faithfully preached. Paul even said this in the book to the Corinthians. He said, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." I left off yesterday with this powerful quote by A.W. Pink. He challenged preachers and he said, "Dear preacher, if you're faithfully declaring all the counsel of God, be not surprised nor be dismayed if there is division because of you. In fact," he says, "regard it as an ominous sign if it is otherwise. If your preaching does not do what Christ's preaching did, you're in a dangerous position." Remember, the word of God is cutting two ways. It's discerning the intents and thoughts of the heart. And as you're doing that, it's drawing out response. Because repentance is bitter only for those who refuse to taste it. You say, what about unity? Unity in the Bible is described as a work of the Holy Spirit, that we would maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In John 7, the unity is not shown and should not be shown between the convinced and the confused, between the convinced and the contrary, but between the convinced and the convinced. In other words, many have come to believe in this section that he is the great prophet promised to Moses, and many have come to believe that he is the Messiah. It's the Spirit's work to unite them in those things in which they think differently because they believe. And that's the promise of Christ here, that the living water flowing out of their hearts would make them one. He will pray this in John 17, that they would be one, that we would be one as he is one. And here he speaks of how that's possible. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So the application to this today is, as a believer, you're going to face this. If you're faithfully declaring and standing for the word of God, be not surprised nor be dismayed if there's a division because of you. And that's what's shown here. The Pharisees are furious at Jesus Christ. They say, what? Only this accursed crowd believes in him. None of us do. What happens after they say this? You know, the Pharisees chide the officers. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that doesn't know the law is accursed. They do. See the division? In the very next word, you know whose name is mentioned? In John chapter 7, verse 50, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing?" See what John wants you to see? What just happened? The Pharisee said, "None of us have believed in this man from Galilee." Jesus is saying, "The Lord is showing us." No, that's not true. Nicodemus is one. Here's one. Nicodemus was probably their top instructor. Here's one the Lord had set apart. Here is one among them who had come to the fountain. And John is saying and showing us, here is right in the middle of the Pharisees a division that Christ brought. Nicodemus had come to believe. Nicodemus, one of the contrary, had become a vessel of mercy. What a gospel. The Father is wooing to the Son all different kinds of people. And notice what happened. What does Nicodemus say? The Pharisees rage because people are believing. But they say, no one of us believes. What does Nicodemus say? Who doesn't know the law? Are you judging? He says, who doesn't know the law? I mean, look at what Nicodemus says. Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing? So what's he saying? Who's accursed? Christ had just said to them, none of you keeps the law, and look at the wisdom of God. Now one of their own, transformed by grace, is confronting them of their law breaking. None of us believes in him. Christ says, I put a division right there. Here's one of my elect. Here's one, Nicodemus, who does believe and caused a division. That's the gospel. When you're set apart and you belong to Christ, and once you take your stand, do you think you're going to be loved? In verse 52, they answer Nicodemus and said, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has ever risen out of Galilee. Do you also belong to him? Are you so ignorant as to come from Galilee too? Welcome, dear radio listener, to the division that Jesus Christ brings. They were wrong, of course. One of their prophets of Israel had come from Galilee, Jonah. And Jesus would repeatedly say to these sign seekers, no sign will be given to you except that of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man must be to this generation. Jesus will have a people repent and believe in him. The sons of the kingdom will be cast out. But Jesus said very clearly, many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I want you this morning to think about these three responses. It's my prayer that when you hear the word, no one rages like those contrary to what's exposed here, to the words that are heard. I pray that, dear listener, as you hear the word of God, you're not paralyzed in inactivity, but have humbly repented of your sins, come to Christ, and lived a life worthy of repentance, bearing the fruits of that. I pray that every last one is like Nicodemus. Christ's words here are offering hope. He's not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So how are you hearing the word when you hear it? Do you believe? Do you sit and be paralyzed into inactivity, doing nothing in the kingdom, not coming, not serving, just having a bunch of questions that are never answered? Or do you rage at the truth? Some come drinking of the fountain of life. And Jesus is promising here that those who come will be satisfied. Those who have been given to the Son, you will have what you long for, soon to come to the new heavens and the new earth. Then, dear radio listener, there'll be no more division, no more sorrow, but a new day when you will be with the Lord face to face in a land where only righteousness dwells. Until then, we are the church militant. We are a church bringing the truth, and often cast down. But as Jesus has promised, those who believe in him, his church, the gates of hell will not prevail. Dear listener, when Jesus was up on the mountain, and Peter was standing there, the Father said something. This is my beloved Son. Hear him.
Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.